Rukia watched him go. Despite his puffery and his near-constant picking on her, she liked the boy. He was playing against high expectations, she knew. Many of the Desai had placed their future hopes upon his slender, boyish shoulders. He had been born of good blood, born to lead, and any failure would crash down around Tanud many times more heavily than the foibles of other children. Rukia could not but sympathize with him. The rain settled into a steady rhythm, shots of lightning occasionally lighting up the clouds above. Rukia moved to the spigot and let the cold water pour over her, invigorating her as she rubbed the last of the mud away. She found as she did, though, that she had torn her sarong. With a heavy sigh, she slid across the mud, over to her parents.
"Zabrija!" Niraj greeted her.
He tousled her wet hair with his thick hand, then pulled her against him for a hug.
"Are you all right, my love?" Kavita asked, bending low to look into Rukia's eyes.
Rukia smiled and nodded.
"Tanud would not hurt me," she assured the woman.
"If ever he did, I would stake him to an anthill," Niraj proclaimed.
"I may help you, father,"
Rukia said, and she showed her parents the tear in her sarong.
"It is nothing," Kavita assured her, inspecting the rip. "Come, let us fetch another and hang that over the chair to dry. I will sew it in the morning."
"In the afternoon, you mean?"
Niraj said heartily, and he grabbed Kavita by the hands and began to twirl her in a dance.
"For tonight is the wellspring and the rain. Oh, the rain! Tonight we dance and we drink, and tomorrow we sleep through the morn."
The woman, laughing, spun away from her husband, took her daughter's hand, and started from the celebration. Together they moved down the empty lanes between the many tents. The drumbeat of rain on the tents accompanied them like the background music of the celebration at the mud pit. Every so often, another boom of thunder shook the ground.
"You make your father so proud, Zabrija,"
Kavita said to Rukia.
"The elders watch you closely. They believe that you will be among the leaders of your age. They will train you as such."
"Yes,"
Rukia said obediently, though she didn't think Kavita's prediction likely. In fact, it seemed impossible to her. They came around the corner of their tent, and Kavita reached for the flap. She didn't pull it open, though, and noting that hesitation, Rukia looked up to her, then followed Kavita's frozen expression across the way to the form of a man who was not Desai, coming toward them, torch in hand.
"What do you—"
the woman started to say, and she grunted and stepped forward. She looked down at Rukia and pushed her away, whispering,
"Run! Run!"
And there was such pain in Kavita's voice that Rukia knew even before her mother stumbled past her that Kavita had been stabbed. The swordsman behind Kavita grabbed the woman and threw her in through the tent flap. The other shade, for these were Netherese shades, circled fast to cut off Rukia's escape. But Rukia wasn't running away. No, she rushed into the tent after her stumbling, falling mother, her little feet splashing in the mud and the blood. She yelped as she crossed in front of the smaller shade, feeling the bite of his blade. She didn't care as she desperately scrambled to keep up with her wounded mother. She fell over Kavita as the older woman tumbled into the tent, her lifeblood pouring from a deep wound in her lower back, already too far from consciousness, too near to death to even respond to Rukia's frantic calls.
"You stabbed the little one, fool," the larger Shadovar said to his companion as they came into the tent.
"Bah, shut your mouth," the other said. "Rukia, girl, come along now, or your father will be the next to find death at the end of my sword."
Rukia kept calling, but her words were not aimed at Kavita. She had fallen into a special place now, singing the sweet refrains. A scar on her right forearm began to glow as blue as her eyes, the light wafting out of her long sleeve in curious, magical tendrils, as if it were smoke. She felt her hands growing warm as that soft glow enveloped her, and she pressed them against the hole in her mother's back. The blood washed over her for just a bit before subsiding. She could clearly sense her dying mother's spirit trying to leave the body then, but she held it in place, her song pleading with Kavita, begging her that it was not time to pass on.
Rukia put her other hand over her own wound then, feeling her lifeblood dripping from her side just under her ribs.
"Rukia, girl!"
the Shadowvar said from behind her. Rukia sat back on her heels, moving away from her mother a bit, and slowly rose up from the floor.
"My name is not Rukia," she said quietly.
"Just get her," the other Shadowvar said, and she heard the first step coming toward her. She spun around, her blue eyes flashing, now with both sleeves glowing and wafting blue magical energies, like trained serpents of drifting light, reaching forth and twirling around her. "No," she cried, and she waved her hand, and a burst of smoke issued forth, right in the smaller man's face.
"No,"
Rukia repeated, and the smoke became 100 bats, 1,000 bats, swarming around the intruders, slapping against them.
"My,"
Rukia said, and bats' wings became like scythe blades, slashing at the two Shadowvar, who began to thrash and call out in surprise. Spinning and cutting, the bats swarmed in focused rage, taking fingers and digging long lines of blood.
"Name,"
Rukia said, and a ball of flame appeared in the air between the two men, then shot down in an explosive line. The shades thrashed and spun and slapped at the flames, and slapped at the barrier of blade-winged bats.
"Is,"
Rukia said. And 7 separate missiles of arcane energy flew from the fingers of her left hand to blast at the attackers.
"Cadibri,"
she finished, reaching high and calling to the storm she had brought in celebration, and it answered, a great bolt of lightning reaching down from on high to obliterate the two Shadowvar where they stood. A blinding flash, a thunderous, reverberating boom, and it was over. The attackers lay dead, their bodies crackling and burning. The larger had been blown right out of his boots, which stood upright, with wisps of smoke wafting forth. And Cadibri, the little girl who was not a child, turned back to her mother, imparting more waves of healing and whispering words of comfort in Kavita's ear. Part 1. The Reborn Hero. So many times have I pondered the long road I have led, and likely will still walk. I hear Inovindil's words often, her warning that a long-lived elf must learn to live her life to accommodate the mortality of those she may come to know and love. And so, when a human passes on, but the elf lover remains, it is time to move on. Time to break emotionally and completely and begin anew. I have found this a difficult proposition indeed, and something